This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In our previous times together, we have identified two of the names of God. We found that it is important to know the names of God because they describe His attributes and characteristics. The first name that we found was in Bereshit 1:1, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word used in this original text for God in this verse is Elohim, or Great and Mighty God, or Creator. We also learned that in Genesis 14, that His name or attributes used here is El Elyon, or God Most High. El Elyon is the name that designates God as the sovereign ruler of the universe. It was El Elyon, God Most High, who has delivered Abram's enemies into His hands. Doesn't it bring a greater understanding and awareness of what the verse is actually saying when we understand what attribute God is using to describe Himself? It brings emphasis to the fact that God is God, strong and a mighty Creator, and there is no other. Also that He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Let's see what Daniel says about God, what He gives and does. We're going to look at Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter." If we were to look at these individual things that God did, we can determine that they were wisdom and might are His, and are His to give. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, and He gives knowledge to them that know understanding. He gives wisdom, knowledge, and might. He makes known to us what we ask or desire Him to. This verse shows the importance of knowing God and His Word, for He gives to those who know understanding and are wise. He also makes known to us what we ask or desire to know. It is the Most High God, El Elyon, who is and was the Redeemer of Israel. We read in Psalm 78:35, "And they remembered that God, El Elyon, was their rock, and the Most High God, El Elyon, their Redeemer." And it is this Most High God who rules today over the affairs of men. In Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35, we read, "But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, El Elyon, and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?' For if God is not sovereign, and if He is not in control, if all things are not under His dominion, then He is not the Most High, El Elyon. and we are either in the hands of fate, whatever that is, or in the hands of man, or in the hands of Satan. What difference does it make in your life to realize that God is sovereign, that He is ruler over all, and that nothing can happen without the ultimate sanction or permission of God? That should give us a sense of security and shalom, peace, that in the middle of any circumstances that we find ourselves in, He is and will always be El Elyon, God Most High, who is in control. Let's continue to look at scriptures that deal specifically with the various aspects of El Elyon's sovereignty and what He rules over. The following verses will give us a better understanding of El Elyon, the Most High. In Isaiah 5:1-2, we read, "Let me sing now for my beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones." We see what El Elyon did because of his vineyard did not produce the fruit that was expected of it. It had only produced worthless fruit. We read this in Isaiah 5:5-7. Now, this is El Elyon speaking in these verses. "So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it to waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it." And then in the next verse, he tells us who his vineyard is. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. He is the master of his vineyard." Now, his vineyard is Israel, or those who believe are now part of Israel. Now, note in the previous verses that he states how well he had taken care of Israel, and yet it did not produce fruit. He also states that he protects or removes a hedge of protection over them. He can lay it waste, let it go on its own. He cares for it, or he lets it go, doesn't prune it, doesn't keep the weeds away, the thorns, or the briars out. He brings or withholds the rain. He looked for good fruit, but no good fruit was produced. They looked for judgment or fairness, but saw oppression. He looked for righteousness, but all he beheld was crying or the tears of those that had been oppressed. El Elyon, God Most High, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is in control. There is not a situation or a circumstance that he does not know about and care about. As believers in Yeshua as our Messiah, we have been grafted into the vine, the nation, or the commonwealth of Israel. So, we have to ask ourselves, how is my vineyard growing? Are we producing good fruit? He cares about each of us. But we also have a free will. We can choose to go our own way and bring about bad fruit or no fruit at all. This is our choice. We read in Devarim, or Deuteronomy 32:39, "See now that I am He, and there is no God besides Me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand." We see that he gives life and death. Life and death are in his hands. He wounds and he heals. God doesn't cause or bring about illness to his people, but he does allow natural consequences and free choice, as well as his permissive will. We live on a fallen planet, and also we live in flesh and blood bodies. God's people are His property, and none can take them away from Him. I want us to look at other verses that tell of His power and strength as El Elyon, God Most High. In 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head.'" Well, this verse tells us that El Elyon can shut wombs or open wombs, so that his will and purpose will be accomplished. Hannah gave Samuel to God, and God was used to anoint David, who from his lineage would come the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy that the Messiah would come from the house of David. All of this because of Hannah's prayers and promise to El Elyon. We also read in 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 through 10, "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. He keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in the darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king, and will exalt the horn of His anointed." We see from these verses that life and death are in Elyon's hands. Hell, Old Testament place of the unfaithful dead, a place of torment, and up refers to paradise, or to bring up, ascend. Paradise is an Old Testament place of the faithful in Abraham's bosom. Success or failure is in God's hands. He can bring success to the poor and the humble. He gives the inheritance of a great throne to them. He safeguards the steps of His faithful ones. He silences the wicked. Humans cannot succeed by their own strength. He judges over the ends of the earth. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken into pieces. Now, again, in Isaiah 45, 6 through 7, we read, "That men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things." We've discovered from reading this verse that there is no other God. He is the Lord and there is no other. He made light and created darkness. He brings blessings and creates disasters. The Lord does all things. Well, let's take a few minutes and see if that authority and position changed any during the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we read, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" We see this again in Ephesians 1, verses 8 through 23. Now, here Rabbi Shaul is writing to the believers in Ephesus. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Messiah, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want to read these same verses out of the Good News Translation Bible. I think it makes it a little bit clearer. I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and lords. He has a title superior to all titles of authority in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him, who himself completes all things everywhere. Well, what did we just learn that we can apply to our life? Now, remember, this is the Sod, the last and highest level of Hebraic learning, the mystery of the scripture, and how we can apply it to our lives. Our primary goal as believers in Messiah should be that our minds are open to see his word and his promises. We have hope in his calling. The word hope used here is hope and expectation, that what he has called us to be and do, we will become. We have and are expecting, firm and strong, that he will do in us and for us all that he has said. His Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will seal us, indwell us, and lead us. And we will spend eternity where he is. So, how does this affect us today? We need to ask ourselves some soul-searching questions. Am I living expectantly to receive all that El Elyon has said about me? Am I doing and being the believer that Yeshua said that I am? Am I living truly knowing without a shadow of a doubt that is what he says about me is true? Or am I in the process of becoming this in my life? Am I living without fear and doubt that I will spend eternity where he is? If this is not where we're living, that the eyes of our heart have not been fully opened, I want you to keep this prayer that Rabbi Shaul was praying for the believers in Ephesus before your eyes. Pray it over yourself, asking your Father and Creator, the one that has all authority, to show you the truth, and then give you the strength to walk in this new revelation. I want us to look El Elyon, the Most High God, from a different perspective. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14, we see Satan's attitude toward the authority and position of God, El Elyon. Have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, El Elyon, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High, which is El Elyon. Where does Satan stand in respect to El Elyon, the Most High? Is God sovereign even over this one who said, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north? Now, God's throne is in the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will make myself like the Most High? Well, let's look at the book of Job and see what Satan's relationship with God's sovereignty is. We will also be asking questions of the text. Now, this is the Peshat level of Hebraic learning. I want to begin by reading Job 1, verses 6 through 12. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along with them. The Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. He, the Lord, said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. These questions are the who, why, where, when, what, and how questions that we need to ask of the text. Our first question of the text is, who instigated this conversation about Job? Well, we read that the Lord had instigated this conversation. He was proud of his servant Job. He even went on to expound upon Job's qualities. There was no one else like him on earth. He was a blameless and upright man. He feared God and he turned away from evil. Well, our next question might be, what did Satan think Job's reasons were for fearing God? Well, I think Satan believed that Job had an ulterior motive. God had put a hedge of protection around Job and had blessed him abundantly. Well, how do you think Satan knew that there was a hedge about Job? Well, Satan had been roaming around the earth and going to and fro. So he had observed Job and all that was going on in his life. So we ask, what did this hedge do? Well, it appears that the hedge not only protected Job, but his family and all of his property and possessions. So, what did Satan suggest God to do to Job, and why? Satan suggested that God would put forth his hand and remove the hedge of protection from around Job. Well, what was God's response? He did remove his hand of protection. He gave Satan access to Job's family and possessions. But did you notice that he did not allow Satan to access Job himself? So, who was in command? Satan or God? And how do we know? Well, it was God who sent the guidelines or limited what Satan could or could not touch. God was in control. He was the ultimate authority. He was El Elyon, God Most High. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, sectim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.